I want to welcome you to another one of our online worship services. We're so glad that you're worshiping with us today. We are excited to announce that we will be returning for in-person worship this coming Wednesday for our Ash Wednesday service at 6 o'clock p.m. in the sanctuary. We will also plan to live stream this service for those who are not yet ready to return. You can come during the day on Wednesday to pick up a small container of ashes that we will have prepared for you. We will then worship in person on Sundays with one service at 10:30 to start out. We will alternate between the sanctuary and the gym. We will continue to use our protocols, and we will continue to offer online worship experiences for those who do not feel comfortable returning for in-person worship. While the number of cases does seem to be declining, we continue to have church members infected with the virus, and we hope that you will help us offer goodie bags through our First Cares team. We are collecting the items listed in the bulletin, such as puzzles, puzzle books, coloring books, crayons, and snack items. These items will be dropped to those who are in quarantine. And now, let us take a deep breath, still our hearts and minds, and make space for God's presence in our homes and in our hearts. And now we invite you to join with us in an affirmation of faith based on Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all things we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, no height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from the 18th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with all of her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In seminary, I read some of the works of the great theologians, people like John Wesley and Martin Luther, and there was St. Augustine and Karl Barth. And I didn't understand everything they wrote, but I gave it my best shot. But today I'd like to quote to you from a slightly more contemporary theologian from the 1960s, Janis Joplin. "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime, no help from my friends. So Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?" Well, some of you may have laughed, and some of you may have cringed, but that theology isn't far off from what many of us believe. Lord, all my friends have fine homes and cars. They have big screens, and it seems they get everything they want. But what about me? Well, some of you may have been skeptical when I told you that Janis Joplin was a theologian, but you're a theologian as well. The word theologian means someone who studies or thinks about God, and why does God do what he does, and why doesn't God do more of what I want? Our passage is powerful because the widow in the parable I read for you earlier wants some of the same things that you do. She wants what she thinks she deserves, and it says that she wants justice. One of the reasons why this passage speaks to me is because there are lots of people who approach me claiming that they only want justice. They only want what they deserve. But on more than one occasion, I've found that some of the people who approach me don't really want justice. They want their way. So sometimes I feel like the unjust judge in the story, barely listening and not really caring about what I'm hearing. There are times when I'm skeptical of the stories that have handed to me. And that's one of the challenges of working with people. You can't believe everything that you hear. And we're probably never sure that we're hearing the whole story. Well, in our passage, the second character is the judge. And I love the description of him. The Bible says that he neither feared God nor had respect for people. Imagine if that was a description for you. Well, the main point of our passage is that the woman seeking justice was persistent. She didn't give up. She knew she had been mistreated. She knew the judge hadn't treated her fairly. So she presented herself day after day saying, "I want justice. I want justice. I'm not going to give up until you give me justice." Well, as I was working on this sermon, it occurred to me that justice isn't very high on my list of priorities. So I'm probably not very persistent seeking it. And I wonder if this has to do with the fact that I'm so comfortable. I've told you before that I basically have everything that I ever wanted. I have a wife and kids and a beautiful place to live. I have all the food and clothing and anything else that I need. And from such a lofty position, why would I want justice? Because I've got it made. Well, I've been reading a book by John Lewis, who is the former congressman from Atlanta who just died a few months ago. And he talked about the poverty and crushing racism he dealt with when growing up. And he wanted to fight to vote. But at that time, black people living in the Jim Crow South weren't allowed to do that. And he said, "You know what, I could have stayed safe. I could have avoided the beatings and being thrown in jail. I could have avoided the KKK threatening my life." He could have avoided all the racial slurs. John Lewis had an awareness that he had a vision of this country, and that was not what he was seeing, where everyone was given equal shot. And as it stood, he had no shot. So he asked himself, "What do I have to lose? Why not seek justice?" And it turns out he found out he did have some resources. He had faith. He had a church that believed every person was created in the image of God. And he believed that he had a community that would support him no matter how bad he got knocked down. Well, it certainly seemed the woman in the parable had nothing to lose. She put the rest of her life on hold because she came back to the judge day after day. And if she had a job or family, wouldn't she be too busy to work so hard for justice? So what did she have to lose? Well, since I've lived in Morristown, I've served on the MATS Emergency Shelter Board. And there are lots of issues like poverty and addiction that Matt deals with on a daily basis. There's domestic violence and abuse. But as I try to sort of process all that, I realize those issues are so layered. I don't even have any solutions. So I say to myself sometimes, "You know what? I'll just serve on the board and keep them at arm's length." But maybe I could speak on behalf of the environment. Well, no, I've got too many friends whose livelihoods depend on energy or water or land development. And if I get involved in environmental issues, I'll make somebody mad. Maybe I'll just work for the rights of children or on issues of race or class or gender. But every one of those issues is personal and sensitive to someone. So if we want to be well-liked, I might choose to never speak about any of those justice issues. In our passage of Scripture, one of the things that distinguished the judge is that he didn't care what people thought. He didn't fear God or care about what people thought about him. Nevertheless, he ruled in favor of the persistent widow and gave her justice when he couldn't ignore her cries any longer. And this is what Jesus said about that. He says, "And will not God grant justice to His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He delay long in helping them? I tell you, He will quickly grant justice to them." Crying out to God day and night. Jesus said God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. So here's what I think persistence in prayer does for us. I think the more we pray, the more likely our will is to line up with God's will. And when I started my message this morning, I referenced a song about all the things that Janis Joplin wanted, and some of my prayers sound slightly similar. But as we are persistent in our prayers, God begins to work on us and show us His priorities. And in my own mind, this is sort of how I imagine it works. I might pray for the latest flat screen TV, and God might say back to me, "You mean the one with the cool remote control? The one with that's in high definition? You mean the one that makes you feel like you can actually smell what's cooking on the Great British Baking Show? Yeah, that's the one." And God might say back to me, "Well, speaking of TV, did you hear and see that story about the family burned out of their home yesterday? You know the family that has three sons? Don't you have furniture and clothes that you've been holding on to? You know what? You could really bless that family if you wanted." You see, even as you pray for what you want, God finds ways to highlight what He wants. And whenever I have the courage to pray for God to use me, He puts real people in my path and asks, "What about him? Or what about her?" And there are times when I want nothing more than to get through one day without being bothered. But then there are other times when I am overwhelmed with the privilege of being in ministry. Isn't there one person that you could help today? Isn't there one person who needs you? Isn't there one person crying out for justice and God has given you the resources to help? Well, a couple of weeks ago, because of your generosity, I was able to give out about 40 or 50 sleeping bags and blankets. And I can't tell you how satisfying that experience was. That was a great day. And everything was going fine until a woman approached me, and she told me that she didn't need a blanket, but she could really use some gloves. Well, I have to confess to you that I have a lot of gloves. I have so many that you could almost say that I collect gloves. At least that's what my wife says. And I was actually wearing my favorite gloves at that time. And for a moment, what I wanted to do was I wanted to hide my hands in my pockets because I didn't want her to see my favorite gloves. I didn't want to give even out of my abundance. But I certainly felt like God was calling me to take them off and give them to her. And I'm going to have to tell you, that gift liberated me. That gift brought me more joy than anything else I did that day. I was able to give out of my abundance. And I know that you are probably stretched to your limits right now. I know that your plate is full. But if God gives you an opportunity, will you answer His call today? And if you are faithful today, perhaps you will get a bigger assignment tomorrow. As God's people, we are invited to be persistent in our prayers, always asking for what we need. And as people who have grown accustomed to abundance, let's consider it an honor to be used by God to be an answer to someone else's prayer. And thanks be to God.
And now as we continue in our time of worship together, let us lift up our prayer concerns. Tom Moon and Dan Trombley are both experiencing some significant health issues. Joanne Weir passed away, and her service of resurrection was Wednesday, February 10th. We hope you'll continue to remember Ben Stapleton's parents and Misty Stapleton's father. Mitch Robinson continues to need our prayers, along with Allison Horner's sister, Melanie Sandlin. Larry Music is recovering from back surgery, and Bill Grigsby is at home from a recent stay in the hospital. Lynn Leach continues to need our prayers along with Ronnie Malloy. Becky Millen has asked for prayers for her youngest son and daughter-in-law, Joshua and Amanda Millen, and they are recovering from COVID. And then Gary and Susie Johnson requested a prayer for Rodney and Sheila Johnson, Gary's brother and sister-in-law in Dallas, Texas. Both are very sick with COVID. And then we also celebrate with Becky Epps, one of our nursery workers, who is officially a grandmother to Oakland Grace, born on February 9th.
Hello again, church family. Wanted to let you know about a couple of updates that have happened since our recording this past week. Want to let you know that Dan Trombley has passed away and that Carl Doman has passed away. And if you need more information about these or any of the other prayer concerns, Walter and myself are always willing to answer phone calls or emails or text messages, and you can also contact the church office. But let us lift up these families in prayer.
Lord, your Son taught us to pray and to never lose heart. But frankly, God, there are times that wear us down and we feel faint-hearted. We feel weary and close to giving up. There are times, Lord, that we lose hope and we do give up. It is times like these that we need to hold each other up in prayer. It is times like these that we need to encourage each other. It is times like these that we need to be there for one another. It is times like these that we need to cry out to God for those who are in need. So now, in this moment, hear our prayers, our cries, and our pleas for those that we have named and those that are in our hearts. But God is not just for those in need, it is also for justice that we cry out. We plead for those who cannot speak for themselves. We stand up for those whose rights have been violated. We seek peace with justice for those who need both. We pray for justice for those who are the weakest. And we thank you for your justice at work in this world. We thank you for hearing our prayers and answering them. We thank you for showing concern and protection. We thank you for your mercy that you pour out with your justice. And we ask that in all of this, may we be found faithful. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
So let us go forth as people who are persistent in prayer, but also people who seek justice. And God bless you.